Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Check out the new Donegal Portland Leisurewear range online and in store at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, the North West Derby of Finn Harps and Derry City is taking centre stage. Ahead of tomorrow's game, we'll hear from Harps boss Ollie Horgan, Derry manager Rory Higgins and former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen. Derry manager Rory Geller looks ahead to the Division 3 league final with Offaly. Kitty Hearn joins us on Donegal's return to the Ulster Senior Championship where they play Cavan this coming weekend. While young Donegal writer Richard Kerr discusses his next move on the bikes for the season ahead in England. Well, we're going to start with soccer, and it's derby time again on Friday as Finn Harps host Derry City at Finn Park. We'll have that game live for you tomorrow night here on Highland. 8 o'clock is the kickoff time. Jeremy Doherty and Declan Boyle will be on commentary. In the previous game between the sides, Adam Foley scored late to give Harps a first ever win at the Brandywell in the Premier Division. But since then, Derry are unbeaten. Ollie Horgan says there will be changes from the 1-1 draw with Shamrock Rovers, and given it will be a busy week with three games, he will be rotating players.
We're down a few bodies as well, we haven't been down that many up to now. We're down certainly a number for Friday and possibly a number for Monday, and it's to try and get it right between the two. But you know, there'll be opportunities for lads that have worked very hard and have waited their turn. So there'll be a few changes on Friday and a few changes on Monday, depending on how Friday goes for the
other. Right, okay. You're going to give us an indication of all the who's doubtful for the weekend?
We've a number of lads that are out long term. We had to take a couple of lads off the pitch in Talla. That picked up, you know, one has a slight hamstring tear that we had to take him off. So the difficulty will be Friday might be too soon, even Monday might be too soon. Long term, we have, you know, the likes of Stephen Folan, and that is out long term and won't be back for another while yet. But look, we're not the only ones. You know, I know Derry had a player taken off with concussion the last night, so we're not the only ones that will be down bodies, to put it that way.
Does it move your thinking towards maybe the transfer market coming in a couple of weeks' time? Ollie, I know you said recently that, yes, you'll keep an eye on it, but it's not something that you're immediately looking at. But if these injuries are starting to build up, you're going to have to lean towards that, are you?
Well, not really. I mean, I'd be quite happy in part. I'd be quite happy to go with the panel that we have if they all remain in place. And, yeah, OK, the injury-free part of it. But, you know, bar one or two of them, we're hoping they're not long-term injuries and that they will, by the end of June when the window opens, we're hoping that these bodies will be back in fully fit. So no, it's not we're jumping out looking for players left, right and centre. As I said earlier on, we've players that have trained very hard and have waited their turn, and we need to honour them and give them a chance to prove themselves also. Yeah.
Finn Harps are the last side to beat Derry City. Are Derry a different outfit since you last met them at the Brandywell, Ollie?
Well, I mean, to be fair, I haven't seen them live since that. Of course, we watched them on the video. They were a damn good side when we played them in there, and it was the width of the post that we got over the line in there. We need to play well to make it tight and tough on tomorrow night. If we don't, they have too much, you know, about them and too much quality if we don't play well. Like, they've beaten the likes of Bowes away, Drogheda away, Sligo away, and, you know, Shamrock Rovers and the likes weren't fit to do that. So that just shows the quality of what they have. You know, they've a lot about them. Physically, they're very strong football-wise. Rory and indeed Raf have them playing, and they keep the ball very, very well. So we'll have our hands full playing well, but please God, we can play well and make it tough.
But the thing about it is, Ollie, you guys are going into this game with confidence. Listen, you've got an equalising goal. It was a point, you called it a good point last week against Shamrock Rovers. I think everybody else called it a fantastic point. So there'll be confidence there. And given the fact that you beat them as well last time out, Ollie, does Harps have a slight psychological edge going into this one?
I don't think it goes to that thing. I mean, the last game is really irrelevant. You know, it's whatever it is, 2 months ago. even the Shamrock Rovers game is gone and we moved on and Friday night very quickly from it. Similarly, if we lose a game, we move on quickly from it and focus on the next one. I just hope it'll be tight and even, where at least that, you know, will be an indicator that we're at ourselves. You know, I think the Sligo game 2 weeks ago, our last home game, was hugely disappointing for us on the basis that we played quite well and still didn't get a result. On Friday, we need to try and get a result, whatever way we can do it, playing well or not. But I think we do need to play at the best level that we can get to get something out of it.
How do you go about making this a tight game, Ollie? Because you referred to that on a couple of occasions there. How are you going to go about that?
Well, I mean, obviously, the first half an hour, you got to see, you know, it's key that you don't concede in the first half an hour. Unfortunately, we did that in Tala and still got back into it. I don't think it's been a huge problem for us conceding the first goal. It's to try and keep it tight and not concede a second, and that's game over, which is what we did in Tala, and we didn't open it up until the second half. But should we go behind against Derry, you know, and concede a second, that'll be game over. And they have huge quality with the likes of David Parkhouse and Akintunde and Will Patching, who's probably the best player in the league at the moment with the quality that he has.
Yeah, and derbies, of course, Ollie, you've been involved in quite a few of them now at this stage. They're always special occasions, so there.
Yeah, it's just a pity that, you know, you can imagine the atmosphere and crowd that would be there tomorrow night with Derry going well, us going whatever, half well, if you like. You know, the place would have been full, it would have been a brilliant atmosphere, and that's probably the biggest disappointment about tomorrow night. It's great for us to be talking about Derry still and playing them and in the same division as them. It's just disappointing that we don't have the public, you know, with being able to come in tomorrow night. But please God, you know, we'll the next time we play Derry at home, hopefully that things have changed.
Yeah, and listen, Ollie, there's a wee bit more at stake maybe as well on Friday night, sixth place. A bit of bragging rights of holding the spot that you're in at the moment, because you know that if Derry win, they can overtake you in that position. So whoever comes out of this game, is it seen as a big statement, is it?
I don't know. I'm not trying to dismiss the question, but I think the only position that matters is where you are after 36 games, Ushing. And, you know, if it means that we're in a position that avoids whatever after 36 games, we'll take that gladly. I don't think it matters where they are at the end of the game on Friday night, but it does matter that we try and accumulate enough points to keep us safe, and obviously we're hoping we can get something out of Friday night.
Finn Harps manager Ollie Horgan. Well, the Candy Stripes, of course, are making the short trip to Ballybuffet for the tie. A Derry win would take them above Harps in the Premier Division standings. Derry boss Rory Higgins knows it will be tough to get a result at Ballybuffet on Friday night.
It's a great game. Two teams in good form, and they're always tense games, they're always exciting, and there's always a lot of stakes, so no, we look forward to it.
That's one limb where, you know, yourself, your first game against them, last minute heartache. I'm not saying you're out for revenge for that result, but you just want to keep the run that you're on going.
That's it. It was a tough night. Obviously, we've hit the post in the 86th minute to go 2-1 up, and they've gone down the other end and scored. And they were good that night. There's no getting away from it. They were very good, and we know what they expect. I think for me personally, it's the best Finn Harps team in my time involved with the League of Ireland. So we respect them as a very, very good team, and we'll plan. We'll do all our preparation work. They try and go there and pick up 3 points.
It's one of them. Harps are sort of, everybody's sort of under the radar and all this, but they keep going down and getting big results, which they did at Tala. Everybody's 1,000 fans, first game for Rovers. They get a result down there.
No, I think that people are very aware within the league that Finn Harps are a very good side, and everyone gives them good respect, and they're able to attract really good players to the club now. They're obviously... they're bringing in higher quality players over the last year or two, and it's paying dividends for them, and they're winning games, and they're picking up results in difficult venues as well.
From your point of view, it's a case of now you're coming closer to the transfer window, and we want to add your squad, you just strengthen the squad, but it's one of them you're going, right, can we get another couple of games and then start adding to my squad? And that's another big one that the players have now.
It's a huge game. As I said, I've gone on. July is a difficult window, especially if you're looking for League of Ireland experience. because no one's letting their better. Like, it's just the way it is. It's a difficult window, but we are working hard behind the scenes to just give this squad a wee bit of depth and firepower. So listen, we'll see where we go with. But as I said previously, and I'm saying it again, is that this group of players are given everything every day, and that's all I can ask for as a manager.
From your point of view, away from home, particularly down the grass pitch, I haven't been down at Ballybuffet a couple of weeks ago, or a number of weeks ago now, and I think it, the pitch is like a billiard table, it's looking really well. Not normally like Fun Harps, they know themselves, but it's looking really well.
It suits them as well, because they've got really good players. I think that's not a thing anymore, where you go to Finn Park and you know it's going to be a muddy. That's not the way it is there anymore. They've got good players. They're doing things right there, which is brilliant. And Ollie Horgan's done a great job there. So along with Paul, obviously, and they've brought in good players who can play, and they've also still kept their previous sort of people that can dig in as well. So they've a good blend of good experienced players who know their way about the league, but also they've got quality in and around that as well.
And you picked up obviously last month equaliser, but that sort of momentum still going, be getting that last month equaliser against Bowes.
Aye, well, I mean, our last two games, Drogheda away and Bohemians at home, two teams really in form, really really in form, and we've taken 4 points from them two games, so we're delighted with that, and hopefully, as you said, we can keep up that momentum.
That's Derry boss Rory Higgins there speaking to Kevin McLaughlin. Derry have been boosted today ahead of that derby with the news that midfielder Kieran Harkin has signed a 2.5-year contract. The new deal will keep him at the Brandywell until at least 2023. That meeting off Harps and Derry is one of the standout ties from the Premier Division fixtures this week. Former Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen joined me earlier today to look at that game, the rest of the top flight matches, and the FAI Cup draw, which was made earlier this week. Now, I've spoke to Ollie Horgan already this week, and Ollie has sort of played down the significance of this game about the battle for sixth place, that it's more important at the end of the season where they're sitting. But listen, you've been involved in derby games. How big a match is this on Friday for the Harps?
Oh, it's a huge match. This season, I suppose the mentality switch over the last season or two to Fun Harps Derry, in terms of Fun Harps going, playing Derry on an even keel and believing in getting results and getting results. No, for years and years, you know, Fun Harps struggled to beat Derry, to compete with them. And at the minute, this last few years, they're on an even keel or even an upward spiral. And at this moment in time, I know there's only a point between them in the league, but I think Harps are stronger. I think they have a stronger squad and stronger team than Derry. So there's no reason in the world why they can't go and take 3 points on Friday night.
Yeah. It's interesting to note that Harps were the last team to beat Derry. They've been in a great run since, so they have Gavin.
Yeah, they've turned around massively. They seem to have got confidence since Rory Higgins has come in and a bit of belief in themselves. I felt at the start of the season, the squad was a bit lightweight and a bit short, you know, but they definitely have turned it around a bit. Now, you do get that reaction with a new manager, and obviously a lot of them will be playing to stay there and they show Rory what they can do. So that's obviously given them a shot in the arm, but whether it's sustainable with that squad, time will tell. I do believe Fun Harps are physically too strong for them. And up in Fun Park, I think that'll factor into the game, you know.
Yeah, will that be the telling factor when it boils down to it? Could we have a really, really tight game where the physicality of the match is going to have a huge contribution to what could be just a 1-0 or a 2-1 victory, Gavin?
Yeah, it will be tight. There's no two ways about it. There's none of them outstanding. Set pieces, you would expect Harps to have the physical edge. But then again, in their last home game against Sligo, it was set pieces that undone Harps. So you don't know. Derry will be lively. They're playing with a bit of confidence. They've picked up a right few results recently. Harps haven't, although they got a real confidence boosting result away to Rovers last week. So look, if my money was on anybody, it'll be Harps. But we could be seeing a draw there, very handy.
Yeah. The thing about Harps is this season, when they go 1-0 behind or when they go 1 down, the game's not over for them as what it was like in previous seasons. There's a confidence there in the group that they can pull it back and get something out of it, and particularly when you've got Adam Foley in the form that he's in, Gavin.
Yeah, 100%. There's a bit of steel in the squad, and there's depth in the squad, as we keep talking about, and they've loads of experience. So they know like while they're still in the game and they can hang in the game, they'll get their opportunities, they'll get their chances to get back in. And they have been taking them, in fairness. As you say, Adam Foley has been superb this season. His goal scoring record has been first class. He probably scored half of Harp's goals or more to this point. So if he can keep that sort of form for the rest of the season, though, Harps will stay up that league.
Yeah, it's a busy period. There's three games in 7 days. Harps have to go to St. Pat's on Monday, and then they've got Longford back again. I suppose 2 wins out of three wouldn't be a bad week's work for Ollie Hargan's side, would it, Gavin?
2 wins out of three would be brilliant, you know, but I don't think they'll even be looking at Monday night at this stage with the Derry game. I think they'll be putting all their eggs in one basket to try and get the 3 points from Derry.
Yeah, and I suppose from the same perspective, Derry are meeting Sligo Rovers on Monday as well, so two big derbies for them that Rory Higgins and Rafa Cotero will be targeting something from. So well, if they come out of it with two draws against those two sides, that would be a huge period in the season for them, Gavin.
I think it would, but at the same time, I would say they would take 1-1 and one defeat because they would be a point better off. So it'll be a yardstick for Rory and Raf in terms of where the players are at in big games and under pressure in the derby and stuff like that. So it'll be a real test of character and test of the players to play in these games. And if they come through it with a couple of results, like it sets them up lovely for the rest of the season as well.
You mentioned earlier that you were on commentary for that Sligo game along with Dermot. Do you think Harps might have learned from the mistakes from that night? Because that's a sore point with Harps losing that game in the manner that they did.
Yeah, definitely. I felt Harps were the better side over the 90 minutes. I think in the first half, Tundy especially and Barry McNamee caused a lot of problems for Sligo, and they definitely should have done the break a couple of goals to the good. Missed the chances. Ed McGinty was excellent in the night. Probably stole or won the points for Sligo. Sligo looked very good. They look strong. They look resilient. But Harps were actually better. If Harps play like that tomorrow night, I think they'll definitely get the 3 points. Learn from it. It's hard to learn. I think they're basic individual errors that they're conceding the goals from. So in terms of learning from it, it's hard to actually for Ollie or Higgsy to bring that into training and get rid of them. They either happen or they don't, you know, but there has been quite a few points dropped this season because of basic individual errors, and they're probably tearing their hair out at this point because of it, you know.
Yeah. So the rest of the games, Gavin, in the Premier Division, there's a couple of crackers, so there is. We'll go to Sligo. They've got St. Patrick's Athletic at Richmond Park, two teams battling, of course, in the top three. And you've got Shamrock Rovers who are heading to Waterford, who are down at the other end of the table. But listen, Sligo will be looking to bounce back after the defeat at the hands of Drogheda the last time, and they'll be looking to do it in style in Dublin.
Yeah, surprise result against Drogheda, but at the same time, Drogheda are sitting fourth, so they definitely have something about them this season from coming up from the First Division. Sligo have been probably the most consistent team in the league so far. They deserve to be on top. I would say it was probably a bit of a blip, but again, St. Pat's is a big test for them on Friday. If they come away from Richmond with 3 points there, they're back on the roll again, you know.
Yeah, Bowes will be looking to close that gap in fourth against Drogheda. Dalymount Park's the venue of that. That's the sort of game you could end up on a draw. You could see in a draw, Gavin.
Could, yeah, but again, I think Bowes might turn Drogheda over. Like, Bowes have been a wee bit inconsistent for their own league, and they were one of the top teams at the start of the season. Serious squad of players, serious ability. I think they beat Harps 4-0 down there a month or so ago, which was, you know, where you would expect from Bowes, but they've been up and down and inconsistent, and it's shown in their league position and around Derry and Harps as well. So I think Bowes could go on a run at this point.
Yeah, and you expect Rovers to come through against Waterford. Would it be handy enough for them?
It should be, but Rovers haven't been just as good as expected this year. They've sort of huffed and puffed and scored late goals for winners and stuff like that. But look, I think everybody's money is still on them to go on and win this league, you know.
Yeah. Is the move by Dundalk to bring back Vinnie Perth a good move for the club? They're taking on Longford, and they've really had a dreadful season. Is it a good move? Is it the right one for them?
I don't know. I really don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I don't know. Well, a couple of years ago, Vinnie Perth was within a kick of a ball of winning the treble. No, granted, it was probably leftovers from Stephen Kenny's squad and team at that time, but they were still flying. Second season, I think Rovers, he got sacked last season. Rovers and not won the league. But what's happened to Dundalk and with the players? And it looks like they've signed a lot of know, substandard players for their level. Yeah. This season, and where they are in the league is very surprising. So there's a lot of things going on behind the scenes. For Vinnie Perth to come back, was he doing a good enough job at the time to stay there? Probably. So why was he sacked, or why did he go? And for himself to come back, he hasn't worked since. So like, he probably has agreements in place and whatever that they're going to back him, and hopefully they do. But it's a strange one that it came full circle back to Vinnie Perth, and rather there was nobody else in contention, you know.
Yeah. We'll move away from the Premier Division of the League of Ireland, go to the FA Cup. The draw was made this week. Both yourselves at Coghill Celtic and Bunnagee United have been drawn away. You know St Mochtar's pretty well. You've played them on three occasions in the past, Gavin. So what was your initial thoughts when the draw was made? I suppose another one away from home, first of all.
First of all, yeah, away from home. We suppose well documented. We don't have much luck in terms of national competitions and getting home draws, but it is what it is. We have to deal with it. We've probably got the hardest draw possibly. Mochtar's are probably one of the top teams in the country at intermediate level. They do invest a lot in their playing squad. They have quite a lot of League of Ireland or ex-League of Ireland players and really good young players. So tough draw. We don't know. It's 12 months since we played competitive football. It's a real lottery to see where we're at and probably where they're at as well in terms of going on a pitch. So we can't judge on the past. But look, we'll go down there, we'll go try and win the game. The game has to be played to a finish. There's no replays, so it'll be a different sort of mindset. A lot of times you go to Dublin and like to take them home for a replay and try and do the business at home, but this is to be extra time penalty. So it's a big test. It's a good test for a lot of our new players and young players to see the level. Look, it can go two ways. We can go down there and get a result in one and we'll be delighted and we'll take it into the new season. Or we go down there and we lose the game, but it might set the standard of where we need to get to and open our eyes up. So look, we'll prepare as best we can. We'll get the boys ready and we'll give it a go. But it is tough. I think by all accounts, the Leinster Senior League clubs are playing away at friendlies at the minute. There are a couple of cup competitions down there and their league actually starts the week before the FA Cup game. So that's a huge advantage. Our league's not going to start in probably mid to end of August. So we're sort of well behind in terms of preparation. We haven't played any friendlies yet. We're struggling to get friendlies. So it's not ideal, but Bunnagee's the same. Obviously they're playing, Maynooth University. So there's apparently a decent side as well. So it's a tough game for Bunnagee, but look, all we can do is do our best at this point and we will give it a good go.
Yeah, well, listen, we wish you all the best of luck, Gavin, with the FAI Cup. We'll be talking more about that, I'm sure, closer to the time. That's the week ending of Sunday, the 11th of July. But just finally, back to the Premier Division. You're sticking with the Harps 1 on Friday night in the big derby against Derry, are you?
I'll go over Harps 1 just. I think just the mate of that wee physical age, a lot more experience in their squad. Barry McNamee and Mark Coyle are really on top of their game in the midfield. I think they might dominate that area. And physically, the back four are very strong. But again, like Derry are well capable of causing, not a shock, but you know, getting a result. But I think Harps will do the business.
Okay, listen, Gavin, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ashley. Good man, thanks.
Former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen on what's set to be an exciting night of football in the Premier Division. Once again, just to remind you that you won't miss a beat here on Highland from Finn Park tomorrow night. Dermot Dorney and Declan Boyd on commentary. It will be fully live as from the kickoff time of 8 o'clock. In Gaelic games, with the league done and dusted for the senior ladies of Donegal, the focus now turns to the Ulster Championship. Donegal won three titles in a row up until 2019, but last year under COVID restrictions, Donegal did not play in the competition. But they are back for 2021 and gunning to regain their crown. To start things off, Maxi Kern's side have to face Cavan in a semi-final this coming Saturday at Breffni Park. Donegal midfielder Kitty Hearn says the group are keen to get back as a force in Ulster.
It's something we probably pride ourselves on a lot. It's been a long time since we've actually lost a game in Ulster, so we're pretty keen to get back out there and show what we can do and hopefully regain the title.
Yeah. How important to the group is it then that just get back this Ulster crown?
Oh, it's massive. It's probably one of our main goals this year. Probably not playing it last year. probably showed just how much it really meant to us, and probably we weren't too happy with how things played out. But we're definitely keen to get back in now and show the other counties that we're still a force we reckon with in Ulster. So
yeah. So he's gonna make a statement this weekend, or do you have to make a statement this weekend against Cavan? What sort of side are you expecting Cavan to be, and what sort of test is it gonna be, Katie?
Well, Cavan seemed to be on a pretty good run there. I suppose it's hard when they're playing in a different division in the league to us, so we haven't really come across them. But listen, they put up a huge battle to us 2 years ago, took us extra time, and we probably know a lot of their players and they know a lot of ours. So it's going to be a massive battle, I'd say, pretty defensive on their part. But again, the composure is something we're going to need to work on and try and keep the heads and just play the ball around and see what comes of it. So I'm sure it's going to be a massive battle, but one we're keen to take on.
Yeah. What's your assessment so far of the year? Four league games, won three, lost one. What have you taken out of the league, Kitty, as a group?
To be fair, I'd say we're pretty happy with how things are going so far. Obviously, we're a wee bit disappointed with the end result last week, but as a whole, we'd be happy with how we've performed. We've felt like we've given a good account of ourselves in the league. So that's probably something that we wanted to do from the start. We've had good performances. I know we lost composure a wee bit last week and things didn't end as planned, but as a whole, I think we have given a good account of ourselves. So that's something we're building on now going forward.
Yeah. But I think in fairness, it showed the character of the side as well to come back from those early goals that you conceded against Cork, because you really were on the back foot from early on, Katie.
Yeah, and it's probably something that over the years we probably haven't been good at. Usually if that happens, we'd crumble, and it's a testament to the girls and to how far we've come that we actually were able to keep the head and work our way back into the game. So if that's all we took out of it, it's massive for us, going on previous experience. So that's a big positive.
Yeah, you've got a new partnership in midfield, Shelley Tuig's in there. How's that been developing this year?
Brilliant, yeah. Shelley has come in, and it's like she's been with us for years. You know, she's come into the group pretty seamlessly. She gets on so well with everybody, and you really would think she's there for years, and she's an absolute workhorse. A lot of the work she does probably goes unnoticed at the minute, but she really is a workhorse, and she's massive for us as a team, so it's brilliant to have her in there.
Yeah, does it free you up a bit more? Do you have a freer role now this time around, do you?
Well, her legs are fresher than mine, so she's doing more of the work anyway.
What about this left foot, Kitty? You were predominantly right foot. Obviously, you've been working on it during lockdown, and maybe it's something you worked on Australia as well. You've got the score sheet with the left foot, which Maureen O'Donnell, my co-commentator, has been impressed with.
Yeah, I suppose lockdown was a long time there, so try to make use of it as best I could. Probably only started, which is a disgrace to say, practicing my left foot before I went to Australia. And then having so much time back here, it was probably something I've worked on, but we'll not get too excited about it yet. Like, I'll stick mostly with the right.
Why don't you take another point in the left at the weekend, would you? What about Australia? Has it benefited your game, Kitty, since you came back?
I suppose it's hard to tell. I think when I was over there, you were kind of trying to split yourself between two and trying to better yourself at two codes. Kind of happy now just to be able to focus solely on the Gaelic. Obviously, there's wee nuggets of information and stuff and training that I've taken out of it and tried to apply here, which has hopefully benefited. But it's nice now just to focus on Donegal.
Yeah. Also to come as well, I know we're looking a bit down the line, we've got the All-Ireland Championship, Galway once again, and Kerry. How key is the All-Ireland for Donegal this year? I know we're moving away from Ulster, but it always becomes number one at the end of the season. How key is it for the group again, Katie?
Yeah, it's probably a massive challenge for us this year, as every year, but it's something that we really want to put a stamp on. We've kind of been knocking on the door now for the last couple of years, as you know yourself, and we really want to put a mark on it. And with our regard, we probably think we're in a pretty tough group, but listen, we've got a good challenge. We've got good games behind ourselves now, and we're hoping we can just build to that. But that's something we really, really want to impress on and push as far as we can within the All-Ireland.
Do you think having all these games thick and fast in the league, four matches on the bounce, is that going to benefit you now going into an Ulster campaign?
Yeah, I think we do. We play well off momentum, and we're always keen to get games back to back, and the girls are all in good tune. So I do think, given the quality of the games we've had a lot of tough teams there and a lot of big challenges, and we've come out well on most of them. So I do think it'll stand to us, and we've learned wee bits along the way. So hopefully we can apply all that on Saturday and come away with a win.
That's Donegal midfielder Katie Heron, who's hoping Donegal get back to a winning start when their Ulster campaign starts on Saturday at Breffni Park. 5 o'clock is the throw-in time against Cavan, and we will have full live match commentary from that one here on Highland as well. I'll be joined in Breffni Park by former Donegal player on expert analysis, Maureen O'Donnell. Well, the competition does start on Friday night. Tomorrow night, Armagh playing Monaghan in round one, with the winner of that game to go through to play Tyrone in the second semi-final. On to Gaelic games in the men's front, and over 2,000 supporters will be in Croke Park on Saturday to watch Derry take on Offaly in the Alliance League Division 3 final. The game will be the only league decider played this year, as the other sides that progressed in the other divisions are all involved in Championship the following weekend, so titles are being shared. With promotion to Division 2 safely secured, Rory Gallagher sees this weekend's game as great preparation for the Championship, with the Oakleaf County awaiting the winners of Donegal and Down on July the 11th. The Derry manager told me earlier today that the pressure to progress out of the division has now eased.
Probably to an extent, Oisín, it's off slightly, yeah, because Derry are a county who didn't want to find themselves down in the lower divisions, and you know, the reality is they were in Division 3 for a year, Division 4 for a year, and then Division 3 again. So this is their fourth year outside the top two divisions, and they were desperate to get back up to a higher level. And given the quality of player that I felt was at our disposal, I felt it was very achievable. So you're just glad to have achieved that now and move on.
Yeah. Just reflecting back on the last game, the one against Limerick, you won it by 4 points in the end, Rory, but according to reports and reading somewhere along the line that Derry really never got out of third gear, and you didn't have to go at full pelt in that game. Would that be a fair enough assessment?
Yeah, listen, it'd be close enough. I'd been disappointed in a number of aspects of our display. You know, I felt in the first half, while we'd done an awful lot of things right, like we lacked the clinical edge up front and we overplayed the ball, and you know, we probably fed Limerick an awful lot of oxygen, and we kept them in a game that I felt that we should have had relatively wrapped up, you know, just after half time.
And no Brendan Rodgers last week for you. Will Brendan be available for the final this weekend?
No, he'll not be available. No, there's no way we're going to risk him in this game. You know, he's continuing his rehab. He's not far away from return to full training, but our focus now is fully on the 11th of July. Obviously, this game is just going to be great preparation for it, Oisín, and there's just no way it's worth risking Brendan at this point in time.
Yeah, what about the rest of the players? Will you bring in many players? Because you've really stuck with the same sort of 15, unless you were forced to change something in the group games, Rory. So will you give some players a chance before Championship?
Give a few players a chance, definitely, Oisín. You know, probably when I was asked about it straight after the game, we felt there'd be no league final if it was Offaly, and it was Fermanagh. It was probably likely not going to be in Croke Park. We thought we'd rotate the squad more, but no, it's in Croke Park, and we feel there's a certain element where we have to grow the squad. The players that have got the jerseys have done an awful lot to hold on to them, but we'll probably bring in two or three players that we felt are very close to the starting team, which will help strengthen us for the 11th of July.
Yeah, it's good to get a game at Croke Park, Rory. It's an unexpected game at that, too.
Yeah, it is, Oisín, absolutely, and you know, there's going to be a few supporters in. Obviously, it'll be eerie enough in Croke Park with only a couple of thousand in, but we're over the moon to get the game. It's against non-Ulster opposition as well, you know, a team that we're not that familiar with. So it's going to be just a brilliant opportunity to get another really competitive, intensive game all being well.
Yeah, between last weekend and now as we speak, what have you learned of Offaly?
I haven't looked much at them, Oisín, to be honest. I watched them on the video when I was analysing Limerick this week. While we keep an eye on them, there's no doubt about that. I'm more concerned with us improving a number of aspects from our display last week.
Yeah, and a clean sheet last week, another clean sheet this week would be another bonus, Rory, because you've kept about three or four of them to date so far, have you?
Aye, three out of the four games we have, and we've been defensively quite sound, but you know, look, obviously that's the aim every day you go out, so it is, and to keep, you know, a very steady defence and not concede soft goals. Probably felt against Cavan, we conceded definitely two soft goals, you know, from high balls in, so something we did a wee bit of work on. But look, when you don't concede goals, it gives you a great opportunity to win the game.
Yeah, so there's what, 3 weeks now out to the Championship, Rory. You remain on course with where you wanted the team to be at this stage of the season?
Well, I wanted to go into the Championship, but once the draw was made, Oisín, having achieved promotion and showing good form, I feel we're doing that to an extent. I want to use this weekend, you know, to try to win the division outright and to show even better form, and that'll be to me then that'll be the ideal way to go into the last 3 weeks of preparation for Championship.
Yeah, if you are going to improve for Championship in areas, Rory, where do you think they need to be?
I think, Oisín, we have created far too many chances that we haven't taken. It's not just in the execution of the shot, it's maybe in just elements of our attacking play that I'm not that happy with, which is leading you to having to defend then by turning the ball over. So that's something we'll be putting a big focus on.
Okay. Anyway, come Saturday evening, it'd be nice to be standing on the steps, Rory, with a bit of silverware.
It would be a great reward for the boys for the way they've knuckled down, you know, not just this season, but since September last year when we regrouped after COVID, and we'd be able to close that chapter and move on, hopefully, to a higher level of football.
Derry boss Rory Gallagher. We go to motorsport next. Richard Kerr returns to the support series of the British Superbike Championship at the end of the month. For this year, Richard has joined the AMD Motorsport team and will step up to contest the Pirelli National Superstock Championship. Richard has spent the last 6 years in the BSB paddock and will ride the powerful 1000cc Honda for the first time. I caught up with the young Donegal rider this week ahead of what he hopes will be an exciting year.
For 2021, we're going up to the Superstock 1000 class in the British Superbike Championship. So it's basically, you have all different bikes in it, similar obviously racing. It's just on the British tracks with, you know, 1000cc motorbikes, and some are over 1000cc. So it's, you know, basically same bikes, obviously just a lot more power, and, you know, they're over 200 horsepower, so there's plenty of go in them.
Yeah, this is the first time that you've stepped onto a 1000cc bike. Is that correct, Richard?
Yeah, never rode one before. You know, the fastest bike I'd rode before was a Triumph last year, and the first time I stepped on it was around April, start of this year. So, you know, it's definitely a big difference, like, but I'm enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it's a Honda as well, isn't it?
It's a new Honda 2021 model, so it is. So it's a great bike.
Yeah, this of course is a big move for you. You know, a lot of people in the BSB paddock. You've been running there for 6 years or so. So you're gradually moving and building all the time through the ranks. You are, Richard.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, obviously when I first went over in 2015, we started off in the 250cc class, so it was one of the smaller classes in the championship. And then over the years, moved up to the 600 Super Sport, and now we're in the stock 1000. So we're, you know, the racing is definitely not getting any easier, so it's just sort of moving up in the paddock to, you know, closer to the superbike class.
Yeah, so you're just one level below superbike now, is that correct?
Anyway, yeah, it's the closest you'll get to the superbikes that's not a superbike. You know, obviously they're the same production based bikes, only they have maybe a bit less power, but they're still, you know, lap times wise, there's only a couple of seconds, and even some of my lap times from the test this year has been quicker than some of the superbike riders.
Yeah. So how many goes have you had on the bike already ahead of the season, which starts at the end of the month?
We've had six outings this year. So we've done four official tests. So we have, and we've done other couple other track days as well. So we've got plenty of miles, and obviously with the late start to the season and not being away to Spain like we normally would be due to COVID restrictions, we've done a lot of testing in the UK, you know, and which is obviously quite important because it's a brand new bike to me, and it's one of, you know, it's a far more powerful bike, and it's also a Honda, like, so me riding the Triumph for 3 years, and obviously it only being a 600 class, you know, it's a completely different way of riding, so we're just trying to get as many miles under the belts, which we have done, so we'll be ready to go racing in just over a week's time.
Yeah. Obviously, Fraser and Mary Dykes, who are spearheading the AMD Motorsport team, have a lot of confidence in you. What can you guys put together this year for 2021? What's the aims and the hopes, Richard?
It's kind of difficult. But before I even turned the wheel in the bike, you know, before I went testing, I was sort of saying to myself, you know, if we can get inside, you know, it's a big class. I mean, the last official test, there was 41 bikes on the grid. So, you know, and obviously, all, you know, 41 of them by riders are really quick. And, you know, the top 20 are very quick, if that makes sense. So, and, you know, it's hard to tell because the times are so close. I mean, 1 second can separate my final test. I was 14th. So I was at Donington Park, and I was 0.6 seconds off the quickest lap time. So that's just over half a second, which you couldn't, you know, a stopwatch would barely pick it up, you know, so it is that tight at times. But before I turned away, I was sort of thinking, you know, if I can get in the top 20, you know, that would be like the top half of the race, you know. But so far, all the tests until Donington, I was top 10, and then Donington, we ended up 14th. But it being the track it was, you know, I mean, another 0.3 could have put me in the probably top 6, you know. So it's literally, you know, it's nothing real worth chatting about when it comes to tests. You know, it only matters when
will the racing be that close as well come the outing at Alton Park, isn't it?
Definitely qualifying, and the race lap times will be. I mean, everyone will be obviously on the pace in both sessions, but the hard thing is, you know, the riders at the front will do those lap times every single lap or come the end of the race as well in a worn tire, but there's a lot of riders that can do it for one lap and just kind of go all out for one lap and do it, but you know, to do that 20 times in a race, you know, is not as easy. So obviously the guys that are able to be consistent will and do a quick lap time will be at the front. So it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be 20 people going over the finish line with, you know, less than 10 seconds between them, but there will be, everyone will do those lap times. Like, it's just to see who can do them every lap.
Yeah. Can you get on the podium this year, do you feel? Alton Park was a venue last year, done at Assan as well, and Holland was another. Will you need to repeat that and do more if it's going to happen?
At the minute, like, you know, we're not far away, considering for the amount of, like, there's not many, there could be maybe only 5 newcomers sort of in the class. It was the first time on the 1000cc, so I think I've been ahead of everyone that's new in the class, and, you know, to be within 0.6 of a second for only, you know, only haven't even raced the bike yet when you're racing against guys that have been in the class 5 or maybe more years. So considering the amount of experience I have, I think, you know, coming the end of the year with a bit more experience, you know, I hope I definitely get quicker, and if we can just keep improving, I do believe, you know, there is a chance here.
Yeah. For you to be at the sharp end and competitive over the 11 rounds, you have to keep yourself in good shape too, Richard. How do you do that? What's the training like?
The training's good. You know, we're just, obviously I work 5-6 days a week whenever I'm not on the bike. So obviously coming out of summer, you know, the evenings are longer. So we get out for cycling and do a bit of running, mountain bike, and just your average, you know, some days are handy work, some days, yeah, you're kept on your toes like the odd day. So it's just a bit of everything. But motocross would be at the weekends would be probably the best for form of fitness, because a lot of people think, you know, it's an easy sport, you just sit in the bike and twist the throttle. But it's like, it's easy to do that if you just want to ride around for a bit of crack. But whenever, you know, it's like you can run easy, but if you run really hard, it's going to be a lot harder. So the more effort you put into it, it takes more out of your body. So it's just keep yourself, you know, injury free, and, you know, don't be too, you know, eat healthy enough, I suppose.
Yeah. And as for the Honda, does that take a lot out of the body when you're racing it, and what you've seen so far? Is there a strain on the body when you're putting that bike on its full throttle?
Definitely on the full throttle. I mean, the thing, you know, at Snetterton, I was doing 180 miles per hour down the back straight. So, you know, and that straight's not even half a mile long. So it gets to that speed very quick, obviously, and it's pulling the arms off you. So, but as in, like, the bike itself, it being obviously a larger bike, I thought it is a slightly heavier, but it actually turns really well, you know, and I expected it to be a lot harder to ride than the Triumph. So I'm really happy, you know, for the first time on the bike and not ridden one, I actually find it quite easy to ride. You know, everything is Honda UK built the bike, so it was ready to go racing, and they've done a great job of that. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. I've enjoyed racing the bike at the minute. You know, it's just it's like I'm just clicking well with it so far. But that could all change, obviously, when I come racing. I might be saying the complete opposite. But so far, anyway, it's been really good so far.
There you go. Richard Kerr back on his bike at the end of the month in the BSB Support Series. Finally, just giving you a heads up on some things that are happening this weekend here on Highland. The Hitting the Fairways podcast returns on Sunday afternoon. Episode 4 is all about young golfers in the Northwest. Sean Quinn will be joined by Carlos O'Reilly, Luke Kelly, Cian Page and Kieran McCormick as they talk about their young and promising golfing careers. That's the Hitting the Fairways podcast on HighlandRadio.com and on the Highland social channels from this Sunday afternoon. While later on Sunday after 5, we'll be hearing from Donegal Olympian Brendan Boyce At the start of August, Brendan will take on his third games when he lines out in the 50k walk. We'll be hearing all about his preparations and target for the games this coming Sunday after 5 o'clock. Two things to look forward to this weekend on the Highland Front. And that's it from The Score for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. If you missed any of the show, you can of course recap by watching and listening to those interviews in the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore is back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning. Until then, what's left of your Thursday evening from me, Oisin Kelly. Enjoy it. Have a good one.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.